flagship station for Clemson football.
Snap, hold, the kick is blocked. It's blocked, bounces over to the Clemson sideline. Christian Wilkins blocked it, and then it was scooped up by Mark Fields.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star, and all the years.
You know, the only thing better than this song is the Kelly Gramlich interpretive dance that goes with it. This is why we need cameras in the studio, people. Just for moments like this, one shining moments, as they were, or all the shining moments. Multiple moments to shine.
Ramona just walked in and is so
confused.
Ramona
just peeked around the corner and was like, what?
I was doing the frozen in time part.
You did.
I was frozen.
You did. I thought, what was that? What was the thing where people froze? The social media thing a couple years ago? What was that? What they call that thing? The such and such challenge? What was that?
Mannequin.
Mannequin challenge, yeah. You just mannequin challenged one shining moment.
I love this song so much. And I understand that there are haters out there. The haters are many, but I stand my ground.
I had this conversation, the conversation about what if Zion was on Clemson's team, which I hate it. I hate it. Because it assumes things. It assumes facts not in evidence. It makes a lot of assumptions about how the team would have looked, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the number of close losses Clemson had. If you add Zion to the roster, how do they not win all of those games? Like, honestly, how many times did Clemson get blown out to the point that you're like, I'm not even sure if Zion would have made that big of an impact? Virginia?
Duke.
At Duke.
Which would be trippy.
That's it.
Switch players.
All the games they won at the buzzer, they'd have won by 15. You can make an argument that Clemson this year, because of how many close losses there were, is like a four-loss team. Like, four losses. You could make an argument that Zion is worth eight wins just because of how close Clemson's losses were. That has to be really frustrating for them. I mean, really, like, I would hate that.
It is. And you're playing the what-if game.
A lot of what-ifs in there. A lot of what-ifs.
I want to ask you this, Kwok, because I feel like we had, and I tweeted a little bit about this last night, we had a weird year in college basketball in this state, right?
Very weird,
An unpredictable year. So I'm going to tell, there's six things that happened, counting a women's basketball as well, that I just think are, no one really predicted these things to happen. And if you had a hunch or you predicted it, tell me. Okay? The first thing is Clemson missed the NCAA tournament, which people weren't predicting. This was a preseason top 25 team. I think that was a little bit of a shocking development. If you're picking one team in this state to make the NCAA tournament this season before the year, you maybe thought Wofford would win the SoCon or whatnot, but you thought it'd be Clemson, right?
Yes.
So that's a very surprising development.
Correct.
Then you look at South Carolina. If I had told you before the year that South Carolina would finish fourth in the SEC, would get a double bye in the SEC tournament, and not make the NCAA tournament, you would have said, what? Why? What happened? That's an odd thing. That's very odd.
Yes.
No one predicted that.
That's
either
correct.
Of those things.
That's the Nebraska. Nebraska from last year was like third in the Big Ten and didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. And then what if for the year I told you that Wofford would go undefeated in the SoCon, win the SoCon, get in, but as a 7 seed? That's the part that would probably blow your mind. You might say Wofford would get in, sure, but as a 7 seed? That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
And then what if I told you Furman would beat Villanova and Loyola on the road, two Final Four teams, be on the bubble, but not make it. I think the second part you would believe more, but the first part, to have those kind of signature wins for Furman, that's incredibly unpredictable.
Thinking about coming into the year, you look at Furman's schedule, there's some non-D1s in there, you're at Nova, you're at LSU, you're at Loyola, you got Wofford in your league, and you're hosting an NIT first round game. You can think about that and say, going into the year, that seems like a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way the season played out, You had Furman folks who were just peaking, just a little bit peaking at the NCAA tournament. And so now it feels like slightly less of an accomplishment.
You're hosting an NIT game.
To host an NIT game, which is a big, big deal for the Paladins.
That's a huge deal. South Carolina didn't make the NIT. Furman did. That's a big difference. And then the two women's things. Obviously, I think the biggest surprise of all of these things I've just said is the Clemson women are projected to make the NCAA tournament.
And be like an 8 or 9, to get in by the skin of your teeth.
Maybe I would have thought NIT, but what Coach Butler's done is absolutely ridiculous and amazing. And then the South Carolina women lose in the quarters of the SEC tournament.
Arkansas was lightning in a bottle team. They made it to the championship, so I give them credit.
I never would guess that South Carolina would lose in the quarterfinals of the SEC Women's Tournament. That is shocking.
So you're telling me that Clemson won more games in the ACC Tournament than South Carolina did in the SEC Tournament?
Okay. Well, they both lost in the quarters. South Carolina had the double bye. So they both lost at the same stage. But South Carolina is projected to be a 4 seed in the NCAA Tournament. You can watch that tonight and see where Clemson and Carolina go. But I think that's very exciting to have both Clemson and Carolina in the NCAA Tournament on the women's side.
You're telling me that Clemson beat a 10 seed in the ACC tournament and South Carolina lost to a 10 seed in the SEC tournament. You're telling me that happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of that is
crazy. Just wanted to throw that out
there. If you predicted all 6 of those things to happen with all 6 of those teams this year in this state in hoops, call me because I want to ask you tonight's lottery numbers.
Lotto numbers. 654 Roar is the number. The Northern Communication phone line 654-7627. Want to say a couple of more things about local Q tonight, 4 o'clock. And I say tonight, I mean afternoon, because in 1 hour and 49 minutes from now, we're going to be live. It'll be me, it'll be Kelly, it'll be Walt, it'll be Brad. Ben will be there as well. John's going to be there. We got a cast of 1,000 set up behind the scenes. Ramon will be here running it. Zach's going to be here getting ready for Tiger calls so we can get that right back on the air with Brad Brownell, as the Tigers are also hosting an NIT game on Tuesday. So get excited for that. Against Wright State, who is Brad Brownell's former team.
Wrong state? Wright State.
Wright State. I don't mind it. People were like, I said it wasn't too bad. Like, the storylines there are fine.
That's kind of cool. And then you play Furman, possibly.
People on Twitter were mad about it. They're like, what do you mean that's not too bad, Quok? This is embarrassing. Which, by the way, we need to work on our language. What we're embarrassed by.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Wait, let's do that. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. The bracket challenge. On WCPFM.com, fill out a bracket. The winner gets a trip for 2 to Las Vegas. We encourage you to do that. It's a lot of fun. You get to feel like the smartest person in the room until Thursday when the games tip off and everyone feels like an idiot. So for the next 3 days, you got to take full advantage of it. Before we get to my thoughts, let's go to John, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. I just a little beef I have with people talking about the season. What's up, John?
Hi. Basically, I'd like to tell you that I enjoy your analysis, you know, here on the brackets. And secondly, I do have a little bit to add about your bubble team concept.
Yes.
I'm thinking of teams like Texas Western Miners, you know. They were not really, one of your top 25 teams, you know, in the beginning. And then I'm thinking of Jacksonville, that was a runner-up to the national champions. And, of course, the Texas Western Miners basically won the national championship. I think that teams like your historical Davisons and Furmans and Butlers and Gonzagas and things like that, they bring a whole new element of bubble team concept where they can get in, and then these small guys can basically get in there and beat some of the big guys. And so I enjoy seeing some of these smaller teams getting there, like the New Mexico State is an example, or I think this year probably Liberty and some other teams like that. I like watching them play, and I like watching them play against Kentucky's and the big guys and stuff like that. It makes the tournament much more enjoyable.
Look, I think you're right about that, John. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I 100% think that's correct. That the little guys playing the big guys makes the tournament more enjoyable. But I also, and I've had this conversation with several people too, it feels like that's a good way to go for one, maybe two rounds. After that, the TV executives, they want to make sure that they get as much chalk as possible in there. You really do not want Loyola or VCU or George Mason in the Final Four.
No, for ticket sales, for TV, for everything.
You don't want that. The Cinderella story is nice when Valparaiso wins a game in the first round and then loses in the second round, and you get a 3 seed or a 2 seed or 4 seed or 1 seed going to the Elite Eight and going to the Final Four. That's what they really want. The tournament wants the big names in there. That's why I think it's interesting. One of these, I mean, you've got North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas all in the same bracket. All three huge draws. Now, if they play each other, the ratings are going to be through the roof. But two of those are not getting to the Final Four. You got brackets with what I would consider to be none of those traditional blue bloods in it. You know, like Virginia's bracket with Virginia, Tennessee, Purdue, Kansas State, Wisconsin, Villanova. Like, you don't have any move that – Villanova's won, obviously, because Villanova's very good, and they've won a couple natties here in the last few years. But realistically speaking, I kind of think that – I mean, yes, it would be neat if Northeastern beat Kansas. But then Auburn-Northeastern's not moving the needle nearly as much as Auburn-Kansas. North Carolina-Auburn's not moving the needle nearly as much as North Carolina-Kansas, potentially. So every time you have one of those great upsets, the consequence of that is the next round, the TV executives don't get what they're looking for. I think a tournament that has a good balance is the best tournament, where you have the best teams at the end so that we can see who's the best team this season and kind of do that, as opposed to just this team got hot for a couple months, beat all the teams that were better than it, and then all of a sudden the fire wore out and the team beat them by 30, and because of that they were able to rest and get to the championship. I don't like those dynamics as much. Does that make sense? I know that's trying to have my cake and eat it too and trying to carve out a perfect scenario, but that's what I like in a tournament.
We haven't, the only underdogs or Cinderellas that we've seen win modern championships were Cinderellas, but they were still name brands, like a UConn.
Right.
Or an NC State, or teams like that. You can cite Texas Western and teams like that, but that was before basketball was integrated.
Right.
Like that is so long ago that it's a fair point and it's a great story and I love that movie, but it doesn't really apply to what's happening now.
Let's go to Jarrell, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Jarrell?
Hey, Clark. I just thought I'd call in. I never called you too much. I usually call me at the early in the mornings because that's when I have time. I've been supporting Clemson basketball since 1957, so you can figure out how old I am.
Yes, sir.
I've supported FTA ever since I got out of school. And I think it is an embarrassment that we're going to the NIT. We got embarrassed in ball games that we lost right at the buzzer. And it's just not good. It's not a good thing, you know. I hope there's an overflow crowd there for this Wright State game. I'll be there. I'll support the team. But I just hope the other fans show up. I got a feeling that they're not going to do it because, like I said, they're disgusted with it. And I've got disgusted with it a lot of times through the years, but I stick to it. So that's all I had to say. I just feel that way.
Look, I understand, Jarrell. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I understand the frustration, and I understand the disappointment, and I understand that this team and this program and this coaching staff and this fan base probably deserved, wanted more this year. What Jarrell just described, though, is not embarrassment. Nobody who is embarrassed about the Clemson basketball season is going to the NIT game. When people say, here's what it means when people say embarrassing, okay? And this is why I got on some folks on Twitter last night. When you say you're embarrassed, you know what's embarrassing is when the Saints are going 0-16 and fans are showing up with bags on their heads because they didn't want people to see that they were there. And nobody's showing up at Little John putting bags over their heads for KenPom's 29th-ranked team in the country, 30th-ranked team in the country, okay? You also have some people in there saying, you know, I feel bad for the players, but that's embarrassing. Well, you can't really do that either. You can't divorce a team and its accomplishments or lack thereof and the way that the players played. So you got some people who think it's icky out there to say you're embarrassed about the players, but you want to put it all on the coaches as if the players didn't miss a box out or miss a shot or something in some of these close losses that they feel badly about. You can't have your cake and eat it too there where you're embarrassed about the program, but you're not mad at the players. Or you're not embarrassed of the players. Like I kind of take issue with a team that's played the way they have. And look, they should have achieved more. They should have executed better late game situations. I'm not trying to say that people should just be satisfied. Nobody's saying they should be satisfied with the NIT or had people saying, oh, so this is good as it gets and all this. No, they went to the Sweet 16 last year for crying out loud. This is not as good as it gets. This is not what the program should want or be satisfied with. But not everything that doesn't quite meet your expectations is an embarrassment. I mean, to say you're embarrassed about Clemson basketball is to say you're embarrassed about Marquise Reed, who's a third-team all-conference player.
Third-leading scorer in the league.
You're embarrassed by Elijah Thomas. You're embarrassed by Shelton Mitchell. You're embarrassed by David Skara, who, by the way, flew back from Croatia, went through visa issues to play one more year for Clemson. That you're embarrassed by all that? That's not embarrassment. That's sloppy use of language. And the only thing it does, when you put that out on Twitter, the only thing that does is that Reed and Mitchell and Thomas and Skara and all those guys and Clyde Trapp, they're on there. They see that. And you've communicated to them that they embarrass you. I don't think people understand, but that's the communication, that those players think they embarrassed you.
Embarrassed is the wrong word. I totally agree. There was nothing embarrassing about this season. Close losses aren't embarrassing.
Right.
You're not getting blown out by basically anybody. The only team that blew you out was Duke, and that was in Cameron. You know, some of these losses were, the word is not embarrassing. The word is heart-wrenching. The word is just, you know, there's so many other words you can
frustrated,
use.
Frustrated, disappointed. Frustrated. These are the words.
Those are, frustrated and disappointed are words that I think the coaches would say. The players would say. I would say those words. But embarrassing to be a 2-seed in the NIT, that's not embarrassing.
Clemson's been to the NCAA tournament 12 times in its history. Barely not making the NCAA tournament is not embarrassing.
How long has Clemson been playing basketball?
Like 100 years.
Yeah. This is not embarrassing.
Since like 1975 when they made the NCAA tournament for the first time, they made it 12 times.
Can I tell you why this NIT situation is frustrating though? And I know you agree with me on this.
Why is that?
Because if Clemson beats Wright State tomorrow, no one will give them credit.
Right. You don't get any credit for
being
right
there. But if they lose.
It's like Oakland 2 years ago.
Oh, shoot. If they lose, you know, it's the end of the world. Especially this Furman situation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you beat Wright State and then you play Furman at home, and I think that will be well attended, and I understand why the NIT did that because, you know, it will cost nothing to have these teams, to have Furman travel there. It's two really good teams that are 40 miles apart, that, you know, multiple, you have fan bases that all live here. That's good. If Clemson beats Furman, no one will give them credit for beating a good team. But if they lose, oh no.
All hell's going to break
world.
Loose.
Yeah, so.
For sure.
I think that's a really frustrating situation for these guys with the NIT.
Texter says this, embarrassment was 15 years ago when we were losing by 30 to small schools on the reg. Yeah, that's embarrassing. Some of the Larry Scheid teams were embarrassing. Some of the women's basketball teams here at Clemson were embarrassing. That's true. Look, Kelly and I called some of those games. Before Kelly was here, during it, after, some of those losses were embarrassing. Some of those seasons were embarrassing, and the players were embarrassed, and the coaches were embarrassed, and the fans should have been embarrassed, and alumni like Kelly were embarrassed. To put this men's basketball season on the plane with some of those teams, it's just not fair. That's not fair. That's not a fair way to characterize. Embarrassing to go to the NIT. Frustrating, disappointing, should have done better, wanted better, no excuse for them. Yes. Nobody that says it's not embarrassing is trying to just say, well, it's okay. We'll just sit right here and not strive for anything else. That's not true. That's not what anyone is arguing. There's a false dichotomy here between satisfied and embarrassed. Those are not the only two choices. Anyway, back for more. We're going to go to the phones. Jeff and Big Bad Bob are up with us next. Stay with us.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom, just because. Online purchase and print from your computer, only at urbannirvana.com.
Don't miss great savings on select 2018 Ford models at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Get between $3,000 and $4,000 off your best deal on remaining Ford Focuses, Fiestas, and EcoSports, or 0% interest for 60 months. 2018 Ford F-150 4x4 XLT. Save $9,915 off your best deal. Stop by or visit EdwardsAutoSales.com and check out our certified pre-owned Fords. New 2019 Ford Rangers arriving daily at the best deal in Oconee County. Edwards Auto Sales.
Washington has come to its senses by reducing our tax burden. Now we can take advantage to reinvest in ourselves and our businesses to continue our economic growth. I'm George Jeffries with Metal Building Supply Company. It's a great time to start that business dream of yours or perhaps expand or refurbish your existing facilities. Come see us or call us at 864-864-864. 295-0506. Talk with me or Kevin Brown about how we can help you. And God bless America.
The concept behind the Husqvarna line of automatic robotic mowers comes straight out of nature. The principle of the grazing animal. The grass is cut a little and often. Easley Lawn and Garden invites you to see the revolutionary Husqvarna auto mower. Available in six models for every type of lawn. A Husqvarna auto mower from Easley Lawn and Garden leaves you with a great looking lawn every day of the week and allows you to do other things while mowing the lawn for you. Once you've purchased your Husqvarna auto mower from Easley Lawn and Garden, their team can assist you with getting started. Husqvarna robotic lawnmowers are the number one selling auto mower worldwide, in use throughout Europe for years. Now, they're taking the U.S. by storm. Get your Husqvarna auto mower today at Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
Be a part of this year's College Basketball Bracket Challenge on 105.5 The Roar, WCCP. Click on WCCPFM.com on the main page and complete your bracket for the tournament. You could win a trip for two to Vegas with airfare and hotel accommodations. The College Basketball March Mania Bracket Challenge on 105.5 The Roar, WCCP. Brought to you by Priority One Security, Granger Nissan, The Vault, and Clemson's Best Gourmet Ice Cream and Clemson Blue Cheese. 105.5 The Roar, the upstate sports leader.
Warmer weather is right around the corner, and that means it's time for you to schedule your seasonal AC checkup with my friends at Carolina Heating Service. Don't wait till the heat is here. Be prepared. The last thing you want to do is sweating inside your own home because your AC unit decided to not turn on. Let Carolina Heating Service prevent that from happening with a factory fresh tune-up. They service all makes and models. Give them a call at 864-232-5684 to stay comfortable all spring and summer long.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Let's go. Now's your time to shine. Let's go. Do something.
Now, back to Gwok and Kelly.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh.
Hour three continues Out of Bounds. I don't want to try to convince people that, like, everybody should be hunky-dory with going to the NIT. I think that's a fruitless, pointless effort, right? I mean, that's crazy. But it also doesn't mean that you're embarrassed by the team. Are we throwing around embarrassed in a way that it's not what we mean, first of all? I don't think everyone that tweeted at me, this is embarrassing, yesterday, actually means that it's embarrassing. You know who should be kind of embarrassed? Indiana, who has two pros on her team and a lottery pick and has, like, legitimate Final Four and National Championship banners. Them playing in the NIT, they should be a little bit embarrassed. Like, that's beneath the standards of Indiana. Indiana should be in the NCAA tournament.
Texas?
You got a one-and-done who's been hurt a little bit. You got a one-and-done big. You got several stars. Should be embarrassed a little bit. I mean,
UCLA is probably embarrassed.
UCLA had to fire their coach middle of the year. I mean, those are programs where the product on the floor is embarrassing. That's an embarrassment.
Is it harsh to say that Kansas and the Kansas team that played Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game is somewhat embarrassing as a four seed?
Honestly, I wouldn't, just because, like, they won the Big 12 for, like, eons. I'm pretty sure George W. Bush was in office the last time they lost the Big 12.
That streak had to finish.
Yeah. And they still got a four seed.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I think there's Kansas fans calling the Kansas flagship right now saying, I'm embarrassed. And they're a four seed.
You know what you should be embarrassed by? That you had a player who was potentially an impact player who wrecked a car, that they don't know where they got it, and he had to sit out all last year. That you got a player who was an impact guy, 7-footer on your team, that had to sit out all year because NCAA is looking at him. That's embarrassing. What's embarrassing is when your coach gets caught on wiretaps on two separate occasions talking about paying players.
What's embarrassing was your offer to Zion. It wasn't enough.
Right. I mean, that.
No. Did you hear?
No. 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 I was gonna play. I was gonna play along, but then I decided. You know what? No. No. We're not doing.
Come
this.
Come on,
no.
Kansas. That's no. An embarrassing offer, really.
Will Wade said it wasn't quite strong enough. Right.
It's a strong blank offer.
I mean, what's embarrassing is Arizona with Sean Miller basically saying a tearful goodbye. Well, Edelweiss at the end of Sound of Music when he knows he's out of there. That's exactly what that was. The Von Trapp family. Right?
Your references sometimes are just out of control.
Where he's like, have you seen the movie? You seen Sound of Music? Where he's like tearing up and gets choked up at the end. That's basically Sean Miller. Like, he knows he's leaving, but he's like, this is the best arena in America. And all the fans are so great, and these are the best people. And he just gets choked up.
I cheated as hard as I could for you guys.
Let's go to Jeff, who's up with us next. 654 Roars, the number of the North Community Gadget phone lines. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? Good show, but I'm on my lunch break, so I didn't hear all of it. But I will have to say, though, that one Shiny Moment song, not my favorite. But anyway,
I understand. Let me say this. I understand because when you take it away from the context of the tournament, it is not empirically great music or a great song. It's the combination of the song with the highlights of the tournament that makes it what it is.
I got it. I thought I had the wrong channel. I almost turned, but anyway. All right. Well, so here's the deal. You kind of took my thunder away a little bit about embarrassing because I don't want to harp too much on words. You know, people have the time; they're just tweeting, don't know what they're tweeting. But I think the LSU situation is a little embarrassing, and I hope they didn't make the tournament. I hope the NCAA kept them out of the tournament for cheating. Did LSU make the tournament?
They're a three seed.
But how are they in? They cheated, right?
Right. Well, okay. We think so. Anyway. We think they did.
Okay. But as far as Clemson, I'm so torn with Clemson because I like Brad Brownell. I don't want to get in a situation where we bring another coach in and we do something stupid and we cheat. We break the rules, and then that affects our football program and affects the university. I just think Brad Brownell is kind of like the Tommy West of basketball. I like him. I want to keep him. I don't want us to let him go yet. I want to give him some more time. But, you know, Dabo came in and said, we want to win a championship. We want to get to that next level. I think for basketball, we shouldn't accept NIT in the future. I think this team this year really played hard. I love the guys came back. I love these guys are graduating. They're not the one and dones. Like, I didn't want Zion. And I'll tell you why. I don't want a guy that's going to come in here and we know he's not going to graduate. This is college basketball. This is not minor league basketball. So I'm proud of the players that came back this year, got their degrees, represented Clemson University well, and they had some tough luck this year. So that's my take on it. I wanted to make the point that the one and dones, the Dukes, I have no respect for them. These guys aren't graduating. So my only question I'd ask Coach K in the press conference, what classes are Duke or Zion taking and these other two freshmen, Barrett and Reddish, and what are their majors? When do they graduate? I want to hear that from Coach K. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. I think that's very well said. You do not have to close your eyes and cover your ears and just make believe that everything's all right with the Clemson basketball program. Obviously, there was something missing with this team. It's clear that there was something missing from this team. Otherwise, they'd be in the tournament, probably well in the tournament, if they just go 50-50 on these late game situations. And I totally understand the perspective of somebody who says, I don't want to play the one-and-done game, not necessarily for the reasons that he said at graduation, but because one-and-done has been known to be rife with cheating. People are cheating trying to get one-and-dones, and so if you get one-and-dones, that makes it more likely that the NCAA at least knocks on your door, right?
Right. I think he made a good point. What's embarrassing, at least if I was an alum, the LSU stuff would be embarrassing to me. And, you know, I think that's a good comparison there. But, I mean, I see his point with the one and dones and without them graduating and all these things. I think that's great. I think if someone would sit in a press conference and ask Coach K that question, it'd be fascinating. What are their majors? What classes do they attend? And maybe Coach K doesn't have all that at the top of mind.
Probably ripped a guy, honestly.
Yeah, he probably would.
He probably
these are
would
great kids. These are great kids. He'd probably say something like that.
And I know he's not going to graduate. I don't think Zion Williamson will ever graduate from Duke. I just don't think that's true. I think he could if he wanted to, but I don't think he will. But I do think he's a good character person.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of people throwing shade at Zion.
Yeah.
I think he's a good, like, role model is too strong a word, but he plays the game the right way. He carries himself the right way. He's not getting in trouble. He's not trying to fight people. He's not you know, all about me beating his chest and flexing out on the core and getting in people's faces.
He does. Have you noticed, though? He does. Yes.
The bobblehead. Have you seen the guy on Twitter? You see the video of the guy dunking? Yes. And he's like, his whole body is like a grandfather clock. That's what it is.
if a magnificent freak of an athlete could wobble, that's what it is. He wobbles. He walks like he's wobbling around. After he dunks and after he does all these things, he's just stomping. It's like he just stomps everywhere he goes. It's just funny. It's not a critique. It's just real funny.
That video, the video on Twitter, I don't even know who did it on Twitter, but I saw
the imitation.
It's similar
to the guy who imitates Harden when he, you know, slides back 10 feet and then takes a three.
Yes. And LeBron, the guy who does the LeBron dunks, all the LeBron
dunks.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's go to Big Bad Bob, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Bob?
Hey, real great show going, guys.
Thank you.
Listen, Jeff hit the nail on the head. I loved his call. The NIT used to be for those who are older, the NIT used to be a big tournament because the NCAA only let in 16 teams. So sometimes you got a great field in there. And I think we've got a great field in there this year. And these kids that played on this team, I was proud of those seniors that came back. They played hard. I never did see them smile when they lost. And those one-point defeats were really tough. I thought they could overcome them. And I think the guy that called, he's probably graduated with me a long time ago, long, long time ago. And he was probably more like every other Clemson fan. He was very, very disappointed after losing to NC State. But Paul Henry and I talked about this, that if we had beat NC State, we don't know if we would have been in. We don't understand this crazy system we have going on now. And you've got to look at the ACC. They have three number one seeds in the NCAA tournament. And so, and all the other seven teams that are in there have these higher RPIs, and Clemson had a pretty high RPI. So I'm proud of the boys. They tried hard, but it is what it is, and I'm glad they're still in the postseason. And I'll be watching the NCAA tournament, but I'll really be, I hope to be at the game tomorrow night. So I hope we fill up the Coliseum, just like the earlier guy said. And I just think he didn't mean to say embarrassed. I think he just feels kind of sad like everybody else does. But glad to be in postseason, though, and the guys deserve it. This is for them. These are for those young kids, those young college kids that try as hard as they can. And remember, they're graduating, like Jeff said. So, good show, guys. I'll take that off the air.
Thanks very much, Bob. We appreciate it. I hope there's a good crowd out there. I mean, if people are mad and don't want to, I understand. I understand. It is. I'll tell you this. It is going to be difficult for Brad Brownell and his coaching staff to motivate a lot of these players. I mean, I think there's a big difference in the NIT with a young team and NIT with an old team. Teams that go to the NIT with old teams sometimes get upset. Like, if Clemson makes a run in this, I'll actually be impressed, because I don't blame these guys who want to go on to pro careers and want to go, you know, might go overseas and play and whatever else, for trying to, like, go and take care of their families, because they expected to be in the NCAA tournament right now, and they're not. Whereas you got some teams like, let's say, Furman, who didn't know if they were going to be in the NIT, doesn't take it for granted that they're going to the NIT, who might be a little more appreciative of the opportunity. A team like Wright State, who is a one seed in their tournament, but still gets to play postseason. You're not guaranteed anything in that league for sure. I get it. I totally understand the lack of enthusiasm for the NIT. Brad Brownell also said, this is from P. Yannity on Twitter, who I continue to just run into him, either on social media or I'm doing baseball.
You guys called that
tomorrow.
Baseball game yesterday.
That's right. He says that he's spoken to the ACC over calls in the NC State game last week. The officiating. We don't know if it would have tipped the scales in favor of Clemson. We don't know. I do think Clemson would have given Virginia a better game, because I thought NC State did not match it well with Virginia. Especially as lacking in depth as they are, and their ability, like, they got to force turnovers or it's over. Like, if they don't impose their style, it's over. They were not going to win Virginia style. And I maintain that Clemson got blown out by Virginia early in the year, but they ran good stuff. They blew layups.
They did not make a shot for basically the first 10 minutes of the game.
And I know, I understand.
And we're still in it.
The same people who freely use the word embarrassing don't understand that you can run good offense and miss a shot. I get that. I understand that some people are not, you know, are not in tune enough to the with the game to understand. I'm just telling you that's what happened. That they ran good stuff, they got good shots, and they missed them all. The Syracuse game in the first half. They ran good stuff, they got good shots, they missed them. Second half against NC State, they ran bad offense, they got bad shots. There's a difference there, and they missed those. There's a big difference there. Anyway, 654 roars the number. In our final segment, we'll kind of put a bow on this bracket discussion. We'll take a look at Clemson's NIT bid if you want to. We'll continue to talk hoops. More Out of Bounds coming up next. Stay with us.
Join 105.5 The Roar for the Mark Childress Show, sponsored by S.H. Carter, co-host of the Tiger Tailgate Show and weekend sports anchor at Channel 7. Mark Childress interviews your favorite players and takes a hard look at recruiting. The Mark Childress Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m., only on 105.5 The Roar.
With spring around the corner, Goodyear and the Pendleton Tire Company are kicking savings into high gear. Now through March 31st, get incredible deals on some of our best tires for wet conditions, like the all-weather Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready, built with advanced traction for superior performance on slick roads. Get fresh deals for your wheels with savings up to $200 by rebate when you use your Goodyear credit card. Subject to credit approval. Come see Zach or Joey for complete details or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
See how easy it is to turn your backyard into a fun yard with a custom home pool or vinyl pool from Aqua Pool Care. Imagine relaxing on your tanning ledge, overlooking cascading waterfalls, highlighted by custom LED lighting. Aqua Pool Care offers financing on your new virtually maintenance-free pool. Get that eco-friendly saltwater pool you've been dreaming about. Call the best builder in the upstate, Aqua Pool Care, at 508-1885. That's 508-1885. Make your yard fun.
Don't forget, the Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is a perfect location for wedding rehearsals, large groups, office parties, graduation parties, family reunions, and birthday celebrations. The Blue Heron can also take care of your catering needs. Locally owned and operated, the Blue Heron is proud to serve Tiger fans the finest steaks and freshest seafood around. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for menu and more information.
Are you all in? Show your love for the Tigers everywhere you go with your Clemson debit card. If you bleed orange and purple and want to show your team spirit, get your Clemson debit card today. Not a member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or our Clemson office to see if you qualify for membership. So, be all in with your Clemson debit card and show your team spirit today. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you. Multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code RADIO for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code RADIO. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca is expanding their showroom to now have the largest available selection of mattresses to choose from than ever before. Save an additional percentage on our already low pricing on Queen and King. And yes, you still get your foundation for free. Choose from our increased selection of Serta and Beautyrest models and take your perfect mattress home today. Open 7 days a week, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, off Highway 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
It's that time of year again when everyone is a basketball fan. Join 105.5 The Roar for Madness and Mayhem at Local Q, Monday, March 18th from 4 to 7. All our hosts will be there giving you all the information you need to fill out your bracket. Mickey, Zach, Brad, Ben, Quark, Kelly, and Walt breaking down the brackets at the tip-off show, Monday, March 18th from 4 to 7. Local Q on Orchard Park Drive in Greenville. Remember, 21 and older. It's the tip-off show, Local Q on 105.5 The Roar.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Rolls right side. Looks downfield. Throws. Got Renfro breaking. If he makes the grab, he does. Oh, what a grab at the 30 of Syracuse on the number.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Clean my Sarah, broken halo, golden wings that used to fly.
Final segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. We'll be back after we leave off here in about 15 minutes. We're going to just drive to Greenville. Like, no big deal. Just drive to Greenville to Local Q, and then we'll get back on air.
Hey, Kwok, I feel like you need to have a little more pep in your step. You and I both. So I'm going to play this for you, okay?
Okay.
Wake up!
Wake up, Upstate! I'm William Quackenbush.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich, and we'll be on air again in 1 hour.
That's fantastic. I forgot that we had
I want to keep that clip. I love that. That's like the it gets me so pepped up every time. You can't hear that and not just smile. You know, that's
Kelly
exciting.
Was bouncing.
It's a bop.
No one saw that, but Kelly was bouncing.
And we probably, maybe when the bracket, you know, when bracket stuff kind of is over, we could update people on Aunt Becky's criminal life and what's going on with them.
Yeah.
Because that story was still just crazy.
Can I give you a couple of interesting non-bracket related stories? Just a couple of interesting
stories. Yeah, because we're going to talk so much bracket from 4 to 7.
Okay. Did you see that Vontaze Burfict, who can't go a month without punching a guy and getting suspended, he's been cut by the Bengals? So after years of putting up with his childish foolishness, it's all over for him there. Some would say that his career was punched in the face, but that would be offensive to him, who spent his career like basically just destroying people's careers and trying to hit guys dirty. Also, we have this. We have Daniel Gafford from Arkansas skipping the NIT to prepare for the NBA draft.
I did see that. That is very interesting.
Do you like that?
Well, no, I don't like that. Oh my gosh, Sanders Sullivan just walked in the
door. Why is he here?
Sanders.
He should be at Local Q.
What are you doing here,
what
Sanders?
What are you doing? What is Sanders doing?
He's wearing John Lennon sunglasses.
Is he wearing aviators?
It's the circular.
Oh, they're circular?
Circular glasses.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. All right. Let's see what Sanders wants. Unbelievable. Anyway, this is what Mike Anderson said about that. Quote, Daniel Gafford has put his name in the draft, will hire an agent, will not participate in the NIT. He could have left last year, but he came back and developed, got better, and I think he'll be a first-round draft pick. He's considered a borderline first-round prospect. And I got to say, this is not that surprising for a guy like that. Sanders Sullivan.
Let's bring him back on.
Long awaited.
It has been too long. Sanders.
Oh, my gosh.
He's plugging his headphones.
He's plugging his headphones.
Do you remember how to do this,
while
Sanders?
While we do that, I will tell you that Gafford averaged 16.9 points, 8.7 rebounds, and 2 blocks a game. So he's an outstanding player. I saw a lot of people complaining this season. What is happening here? I saw a lot of people complaining this season about the way they used him, though, because they want to do 40 minutes of hell, that they didn't put him in a lot of, like, actions. They got him around the basket.
If you're a true pro prospect, Arkansas is not that very, it's not very attractive to you, right? Because, I mean, unless you're in incredible shape.
Who was it? Bobby Portis? A few years ago? Remember Bobby Portis?
I remember that name.
They can do that. I mean, they've got first-round picks.
I guess your average one-and-done doesn't want to guard full court for 40 minutes.
That's true.
Probably not.
That's true. Now, this guy came back. I think he's sophomore this year, I think, is right. The third thing is, did you see the story about the Phillies last year? How they had Carlos Santana, who's a veteran, smash the TV like in the waning days of the season because teammates
how did he hurt
were,
himself?
This is what happened. Teammates were playing Fortnite during a game against the Braves, and so he went back. He got tired of it, smashed
during
the TV.
During a game.
It was the youngest team in Major League Baseball. You had a bunch of 25-year-olds trying to learn how to play.
Hey, take 25-year-olds out your mouth.
I understand.
We're not all like this.
This is the story, though. This is from Jeff Passan from ESPN, okay? I'm just going to read some of this. When the Philadelphia Phillies lost their ninth consecutive game toward the end of last September, veteran first baseman Carlos Santana felt like he needed to send a message to his teammates, who he said spent portions of the game against the Atlanta Braves playing video games in the clubhouse. Santana grabbed a bat, retreated to the room at Citizens Bank Park where the gaming took place, and smashed the TV to ensure there would be no more Fortnite the final 2 days of the season.
With a bat?
Yes.
Use your resources. Use what you have around you.
Quote, "I see a couple players, I don't want to say names, they play video games during a game," Santana told ESPN. "We come and lose too many games, and I feel like they weren't worried about it. Weren't respecting their teammates or coaches or the staff or the front office. It's not my personality, but I'm angry because I want to make it good."
Wait. So you're never angry, but you also smashed a TV. I feel like if it's not your personality, if you're not confrontational, you've probably never smashed a TV.
I've never smashed a TV.
Right. I feel like it just takes a certain kind of person to smash a TV.
Yeah, like
it's probably not the first TV you've ever smashed.
I've chucked a controller before.
I don't think you smashed your first TV at 35. He's probably smashed a TV before.
Because
he said the quote was something like, "I've never done this before, but this one time I smashed a TV." I don't think people smash TVs just once. That's what I'm saying. That's my analysis of that situation.
Santana got traded to Seattle, but according to the Phillies, it was not about the Fortnite incident.
Okay.
It was other things. And Jake Arrieta told Jeff Passan he would have smashed something too had he known that was going
on. Sure. I don't blame him for smashing the TV because that's just classic millennial. Sanders, what do you have to say for your people?
I mean, I could see the reasoning behind it. No wonder you're losing. You can't win Fortnite. You can't win a baseball game.
I could see millennials doing this.
Clemson would do that last year. Clemson baseball last year, not during games, but like before games to loosen up, would play a little Fortnite. And that was when they won all those one-run games. It helps. You stay loose and you play under pressure. Helps you play under pressure.
You were at Brad Brownell's media availability a little bit ago.
A little somber.
How was that? It was somber? Somber, really?
Yeah, just... You know, this time a year ago, you're getting ready to play for the tournament, and this time it's like, what could we? You know, we could have gotten in if we had won a few more of these close games. The one of the most more interesting things that I saw was Eli Thomas last night tweeting, you know, "I caught myself looking up at the Sweet 16 banner a couple of times today," and that was just sort of like, I guess the mood, sort of for this team going into it is, man, we could be here, but we're stuck playing this. And, you know, Brownell was still trying to talk about the NIT, you know, and the biggest challenge for him, he said he just got off the phone with Kevin Keats, NC State's head coach, and they were both talking about how the biggest challenge for them was to get their guys motivated and excited to play in the NIT tournament. And knowing that they probably could have been, maybe should have been, in the NCAA tournament. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, trying to get your guys hyped up for the next coming week when they know inside they probably should have other things to be playing for.
It makes sense. I don't think X and O's are going to be an issue as much as motivation. Well, I think these first NIT games, that's what it's about.
You know, I mean, we kind of saw this story 2 years ago when Clemson played Oakland.
They got up by 20.
Yeah,
so
which
they
was
did come
odd.
Out and got up by 20, but then they kind of relaxed a little bit.
That was such a weird game, too. That was just a weird situation.
It was weird.
But you're playing, inevitably, in these NIT situations, you're playing teams that, just on paper, it looks like they have a bigger reason to be motivated than you. A Wright State, like you said, they were the one seed in their league, right? And they lost that tournament.
Yeah.
So they want to finish on a strong note. Furman, if Clemson were to play Furman, would have tons of motivation in that game to go win at Clemson. I mean, think about what that would mean for their program. So this is a challenge, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I mean, this is a pride situation, right? You have to step up and say, look, you have to find a way to be motivated here. And Brownell has to find a way to motivate his guys. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you don't find a way to be motivated, you're not going to win or at least go far in this tournament.
Look, you're exactly right, 100% right. Can I give you just quickly my rundown by region? Just the games that I have 8 games that I don't know I'm picking.
Oh, yeah. Tell me your 8 that
I just want to do because
we're worried about.
We're going to talk a lot about the one seeds and the matchups and all. We'll talk about that at Local Q coming up in about 1 hour and 7 minutes. But we'll also get into it a little more tomorrow, which brackets, the strongest, weakest, all that stuff. Here's what I'm looking at. Okay, here's what I'm looking at. On the one hand, I've got 2 games in the top left. What is that, the East? I got 2 games in the East that I still don't know who I'm picking. I don't know who I'm picking, Belmont or Temple, and I don't know who I'm picking, Maryland, in the winner of that.
Yes, I'm struggling with that portion as well.
And I don't know who I'm picking, LSU and Yale.
I only have a few scratch outs in my bracket, which you hate to see, right? Because then you're thinking, oh no. I scratched out one team and put the other in that LSU-Yale situation. So,
do you have any more that you're struggling with there?
In the East?
I feel good about, right now, I feel good about all the other games.
Minnesota-Louisville is a little bit of a struggle for me.
Okay.
And, I mean, Louisville's lost 7 of their last 10. Minnesota's hot with what they did in the tournament. But do I really believe in either of those teams? No.
No.
So that's a tough one. That's a struggle a little bit.
In the Gonzaga, the West, I have two games that I'm struggling with. Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky shoots the ball. And Texas Tech profiles as a team that struggles to score.
Yep.
And then Nevada, Florida in a 7-10. Yes. Those are the only two that I'm worried about there.
Nevada, Florida, I struggle with that one. And then a little bit Murray State, Marquette, but mainly just struggle with pulling the trigger. But I did pull the trigger.
Ah, so, yes. Yeah. We'll have a conversation about that one. The one that I had three games that I wasn't sure about up in the top right, the Virginia, the South Regional, Wisconsin, Oregon.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
It's basically the same team over there. Kansas State, UC Irvine because of Dean Wade.
Yep.
UC Irvine's a 31 team with seniors. And Purdue, Old Dominion.
All three of those I struggled. And Irvine, as I read more about UC Irvine, I'm falling more in love with the Anteaters.
That's a Clark Kellogg special right there from the show last night. He loves the Anteaters.
You know their coach, former Warriors assistant? They run and gun.
Yeah, they do.
They've won a bunch. They've won 30 games.
They guard, too.
And K-State does not have their best player.
That's right.
Best all-around player. So
even if he plays, you'd be probably going to be 100%.
Right.
The only game I'm worried about in the bottom right as of this moment is Utah State, Washington, 8-9.
Yep.
I feel good about the rest of them. I have a comfort level there.
I actually agree. Yeah, I feel good about all of those except Utah State, Washington. And I'm not buying the 12-5 in that region. I'm not buying New Mexico State to beat Auburn.
Well, we saw that last year where everybody was picking New Mexico State to beat
Charles
Clemson.
Charles Barkley picking New Mexico State, riding and dying with them, the Aggies.
Now, don't ride or die with any team named the Aggies. By the way, have you seen the potential for chaos in the coaching carousel with old Buzz Williams chatted at A&M?
Because they'll pay him, what, $50 billion to go coach at A&M?
Probably. There's also a thought out there that Buzz would rather stay and wait and see what happens with Shaka at Texas.
Yeah, that is really interesting because Texas would love to have Buzz.
If Texas comes open, now that Texas A&M has come open, that could be pretty interesting. Also, Arizona and UCLA are both open. They can't both have Luke Walton. I feel like both of them are going to at least call Luke Walton.
Are we sure LSU's open?
Hey, what did I say?
LSU's not open, technically.
What did I say? I said
you
UCLA.
You meant Arizona, UCLA. You said Arizona, LSU?
Yeah, I meant UCLA. Yeah.
Or does Texas act now because they think A&M's going to swoop in and get Buzz? However, how much can they pay Buzz if they have to pay Shaka $50 billion in his buyout?
Also, LSU is going to fire Will Wade.
They have to, right?
He's on administrative leave. How many guys with that type of damning evidence
survive administrative leave?
They have gone through the process. They've begun the process to fire him. That ends with him being fired.
Is Danny Manning done at Wake?
I don't know. I still don't think so. Like, I mean, he just put his volleyball coach on leave. One thing at a time.
Well, that's because the volleyball coach was helping to pay for kids to get into Wake Forest. not helping to pay, getting checks.
John Curry has to have a little bit of PTSD, too, about changing coaches. Last time he tried to change a coach, he got fired at Tennessee. So he's got a little PTSD. He's been on the job like 2 weeks. He might need to settle into the job.
That's probably the best thing for Danny Manning. When Danny Manning saw that, he shows no emotion anyway, but he probably said, oh, great, because that's all the emotion Danny Manning would ever show. But I'm sure he's excited about that.
I think I'll wait. You know, when he gets fired, he's going to wait like 3 weeks to clean out his office because he just never does anything when he should.
When I
call timeouts.
I like Danny
Mostly
Manning,
call
right?
timeouts.
He seems like a nice guy. When I think of his animal equivalent, I think of a sloth. He just moves so slowly and always looks asleep.
That's
my final comment of the day.
I mean, they have some decent talent there. They can't do anything.
Show me some passion, Danny Manning.
How about we didn't get a chance to talk about this. The Passner stuff at Georgia Tech where Jarrett Jack and Wendell Carter are going to the strip club. Did you see that?
Yes. We talked about that on the show Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wendell Carter, by the way, we talked about this. How is Duke not? How is no one written? Wendell Carter actually went to Duke.
He went to Duke for a free quack.
Per the NCAA, if you are ineligible for one school, you are ineligible as an amateur athlete. It's not that if somebody got paid by, let's say, Will Wade to LSU and then goes somewhere else, that they're all of a sudden eligible again because they didn't go to the school that paid them. You're ineligible. Does Duke's accomplishments in that 9 whole months where they had Wendell Carter at their boarding school?
They made an Elite Eight.
Did they? Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? And I'm so mad. I'm so angry that
you
I didn't get to this.
You have 15 seconds, sir.
The most ridiculous post-game